Hallelujah. Remember we talked about, we said this was the last of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was just ending it and finishing up with his teachings and his preachings. And so he was telling them at the end of it, he said, therefore, after having heard all that they heard, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. In other words, we're not just hearers only, but we're doers of what Jesus tells us to do. Amen? We're doers of it. It's so easy to proclaim, and we sing these wonderful songs. They are wonderful. He is the Lord our God that healeth us. But if he is, why aren't we all healed? Amen? Got awful quiet. Jesus said he went about healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. All, not some, every one of them. And he said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't change. He said, those who believe shall lay hands on his sick, and they shall recover. And yet we don't see everybody getting healed. Last time we had a prayer, which we're coming up to again on first Friday of the month, time of prayer and fasting, praying for the sick. A couple people came in here. Something happened to them. They were healed. Now, I would have hoped by now they would have stood up and proclaimed it, but they haven't. Hopefully one of these days it'll happen. Why? It's not so that we get more people out. Trust me, I'm going to be here whether anybody comes or not. Whoever walks through those doors and wants prayer, we will pray for them. Why? Because we believe Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he doesn't change. And when he healed then, he heals today. But that didn't just come from a song that we sang. That didn't just come because all of a sudden we thought, well, let's just do this, and we read it in the Bible, so let's go do it. Because if it was just dependent on those things, we would have stopped doing it because not a lot of people get healed. In my eyes, they all got healed. If I did what God told me to do, and God says he'll do what he told us we'll do, then it's done. Amen? That's just the way I look at it. And it's not just about healing of the physical body. This is about walking in divine prosperity, spirit, soul, and body. That means you're walking in a life, and your life is just wonderful. And it's not what's going on around you, not even what's going on with you. The storms can be raging, the wind can be blowing, the noise can go, the rain can be falling, but you're still in a place of peace and tranquility and a place of hope for a great future. You don't change because the wind changes. You don't change because it's raining today. You don't change because you're tired. You don't change because somebody did something or said something because you didn't like it. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because your life is not based on what you see, what you feel, or what you think. Your life has been built on the foundation of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And you stand on that rock. And what he said is truth. And the truth has set you free from all the junk around you. From all of it. What's going on in Washington, not going on, what's all the junk going on and people screaming and yelling and carrying on. God bless them. I'm not going to be moved from the rock. Do I have to eliminate some things? Yes. I don't watch the Giants anymore. Why? Because I get aggravated. You make a joke of it, but it's true. Why should I put myself in a position to be aggravated? I'm not going to. I'm not going to find a place where I can go in and be disturbed by something. I'm going to try and stay in a place where I can have peace and joy and be satisfied with life. Would I like something different going on? Yeah, I'd like to see him win once in a while. But I'm going to tell you something. If you get around people who are negative all the time, you'll become negative. If you get around people who don't believe what God said to be truth, eventually you start wondering and doubting. Just the nature of man. So what we need to do is make sure, and this goes back to the beginning of our walk with Christ, that if our life is being built on something, and it's going to be built on something, whether on the rock that he talked about or on the sand, either way, your life is being built on something. And I'm going to tell you, if it's built on one morning, on a Sunday morning, once a week, or once a month, or once whenever you feel, well, I think I'll get up and go to church today, then you're never going to see the fullness of what God intended for your life. Just not going to happen. Because this does not begin on a Sunday morning. It's from where you got saved and you chose to build your life on something different than what you were building it on before. You came to Christ because you didn't like it without him. There was something different. Something was different. To be saved and not to be saved, to walk with Christ, to be built on that rock, our lives. I came to Christ because I knew there was something different. I had a need too, big need. But I discovered coming to Christ, it can be different than what it was. Before that, I drank, and nobody ever really labeled me as an alcoholic, but I drank every day. Went to bed drunk every night. Did drugs weekends. I was a weekend druggie, not a every night drug. Everything that I could do to relieve the pain of what life was like where I was in at that moment, I was trying to do. I was looking for a way to find some peace, some joy, some happiness. I had all the things, had a sports car, boat, vacations. I did all those things, but it never brought anything to me. I never got anything out of it. I understood that there was more to life than what I was experiencing. Jesus one day opened that door to me and showed me. I didn't understand it at the beginning. I didn't understand it. I had no real understanding, comprehension of what was going on. It took many years after that before we found out exactly what he was preparing us for. There were storms coming in life that we were not capable of handling on our own. And he was leading us and guiding us. It wasn't mean we were perfect in all our ways. But he already knew what was coming ahead of us. And he was preparing us for it. In the scriptures that we looked at in Matthew 7, 24 through 27, Jesus was talking about building your life on something more than what you can see, what you can feel, what you can taste, what you can hear. He was talking about building your life on something that can keep you no matter what happens in your life. That you can stand strong and you will not be moved. You're not going to be like this emotionally. It doesn't mean that you lose your emotions. It's just that your emotions aren't moved onto things. You're finding joy every day in the fact that you built your life on the rock called Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that life is worth living. And it is so good. It is so wonderful. Just like a good recipe you want to share it with others. You know a good restaurant? You tell people, don't you? If the Giants could win football games, you'd tell people, wouldn't you? Whatever it is that you find value in and think it's good, you would share it with someone else. Listen to this. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, remember, does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. Remember what we said foolish, that word foolish means? Moron. Amen? Who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. We know, we said when we looked at this, we said, okay, you're going to build a house. You're either going to build it on a rock or you're going to build it on sand. And the rains are going to come. The winds are going to blow. Things are going to happen in life. They are. We can't ignore them. We can, well, we're people of faith. Nothing's going to come against us. Come on. All of us. Every one of us. If we live in this world, you're going to have tribulation sometime in your life. It doesn't mean you have to live in it always. But you're going to have storms. You're going to invade your space. And what happens at that point will be determined on how you have built your life, whether on sand, which is easy and that's comfortable and it's quick and, you know, okay, I can go to church on Sunday morning and everything is fine with me the rest of the week because I did my duty. I went to church. I like what we're doing on Wednesday night. We're learning and doing messages from Pastor Monroe about the purpose of prayer. And what I really, really enjoy about it and what he brought forth and really for me, and I told you this before, when you hear a message, maybe one thing will stick. One thing you'll get a hold of and say, wow, and that'll something will jump at you and you'll grab a hold of it and it becomes yours. Well, that's what happened on this one. He said something that was very interesting. And I've always believed it, but I never put it into words like he could put it into words. Is that Jesus didn't come to establish a religion. Amen? You understand that? Jesus didn't come here to establish a religion. He came here to establish the kingdom of God. So our relationship with Jesus is not based on a religious activity, but it's based on... It's based on a relationship between a king and his servant. King and his son. King and another king and priest down here. So it becomes a relationship based on laws, on a constitution. It becomes based on the knowledge that we're operating out of a different system than everybody else. And when you go to the Father in prayer, you bring to the King, he is your Father, but he's also the King. He is overseeing this whole kingdom down here, which he began in the beginning. That's what he did in the garden. He was establishing what he was doing, extending the kingdom of heaven. Amen? And he gave all authority to the man and woman. He said, I give you dominion over all the earth. They turned around because they were given that authority and that dominion, turned around and gave it to Satan. Jesus came back and took it back from Satan and reestablished it for us. He said something in that message also. He said the church is called the called out ones. But that word for the called out ones in the Greek actually means cabinet. So in the church is really an extension of the government of God. So now we are down here as governing authority rather than people who go to church. Once you establish that fact and you understand it, you start approaching life in a different way. You start going as if you are the authority to deal with life. So when the storm comes, what can you do? You speak to it. Amen? You speak to the storm. You don't let it just come and just destroy your life. You've got to stand up. Take authority over it. God gave you that authority. What are you going to do with it? Storms are coming. Matters not what it is. Well, what makes you think you can do that? I don't think it. I know it because God said it. And he can't lie. He can't lie. God said, I've given all authority came to Jesus in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And then he turned around and gave the authority to his called out ones, his cabinet. Look, if you are his member of his government, you can have authority, but authority's no good without power. Well, what if I stand up and say something and it doesn't work? It won't work, but you already doubt it'll work. Hallelujah. So how do I get to a place to make sure I'm building my life on the rock and not on sand? Go to Psalms 127. Hallelujah. This is what's so wonderful about this. Listen to this. Unless the Lord builds the house, what are we talking about? Your life, the house. Unless the Lord builds it, they labor in vain who build it. So that's telling me there's people who are having their lives built, but they're not letting God do it. They're doing it on their own. Right? One is building on the rock, one is building on the sand. Who do you think is building on the sand? Who do you think is building on the rock? Unless Jesus builds the house. What's that mean? That just means you can't do this on your own. Understand? You can't do it on your own. I remember when our house was being built. I was there. But you know what? We had people who came in and did the work. I didn't do the work. I was overseeing it. I watched as it was being done. And whatever I had to do to get it done, I did what my part was. If you want to be your house built on a rock, number one, you got to realize without God, without Jesus, you ain't going to do it. Look what he says. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. What's he saying? It's useless for you to worries and cares of this world and worrying about tomorrow, worrying about what you got to get done today, worrying about this thing, how to move this way and how to get that there and how to do this. If Jesus isn't involved in it, it's all a waste of time anyways. When storms come, the only time you're going to get any rest is you believe that Jesus is there working with you to get through the storm. If you think you're going to do this on your own, you can get through it. Oh, things will come pass and they'll go, but another one's right on its tail, just like these hurricanes, one right after another. What's the first thing that comes when a storm comes? We were just talking to someone this morning about it. Fear. Job said, that which I feared most came upon me. Storms will always bring fear with it. But those whose lives are built on the rock, fear has no power over them. You know why? Because the rock is Jesus Christ. Now listen to what I'm going to say. Who is Jesus? He's God. Who is God? Love. Your life is built on love. Your life is built on love. Perfect love casts out all fear. If your life is built on sand, it's not built on love. Because God is love. In vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. None of that helps you. None of that helps you at all. You can be full of sorrows, full of fear, full of... And it doesn't have to be that you have a storm. Your fear can be that something will be taken from you. You could be going well. These people out here that's got all this money, all this power, all this fame, their greatest fear is somebody takes it from them. That's what's going on in Washington. The fear of that Congress in Washington is that Trump will take from them that which they find to be theirs. Was never meant to be theirs. And so their fear overwhelms them to the point that they reject everything that he's trying to do. And that's the same thing with people of God. When fear overwhelms you, you reject everything God wants to do for you. And you look for someone else or something else to deliver you out of it. In Matthew 11, he talked about, come all those. Well, let's go there. Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen? Rest from what? Rest from the fear of storms in your life. Rest from the fear of lack. Rest from the fear of sickness and disease. He said, come to me. What's that mean? He said, take upon me, take upon you my yoke. In other words, start walking with him. Don't do anything that he wouldn't tell you to do. Don't say anything he wouldn't tell you to say. In other words, if you got a sickness and disease coming on you, don't claim it. Don't keep speaking, this is what I am, this is what's going on. Yeah, it might be true. Facts is, yes, that's real. I'm not asking you to deny the truth or deny the fact. But the truth is greater than facts. It's truth that sets you free, not facts. What we do is speak facts all the time. This is what they said. This is what's going on. This is what it is. And what we need to step back and say, okay, Jesus, what would you say? Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father saying. I only do what I see my Father doing. Jesus, what do you say? Jesus said, by my stripes you were healed. Jesus said, I took all your sicknesses, all your diseases at the cross at Calvary. He said, I'm the Lord thy God that healeth thee. This is what he would say. Then why do we say what he doesn't say? He didn't walk around saying, oh, I got this. Oh, that happened to me. Oh, this is going on. No. He wanted just what the Father said. He said, I see my Father healing all who are sick and oppressed of the devil, so I went about doing what I saw him doing. Amen? Awful quiet in here. Hallelujah. Go with me, Proverbs 24:3. Proverbs 24. I'm going to show you something. He does a warning here beforehand, before we get to that scripture. He don't be envious of evil men or desire to be with them. Listen to me. If you're watching something and you're envious of them, in other words, if you're watching some stupid program on TV of rich and famous people and housewives of this or that over there or whatever garbage it is that you happen to keep your eyes on, get your eyes off of it. Get your eyes off of it. Because if it produces in you envy, you are already walking away from God. Dangerous to sit there and let this junk come into your eyes. Just like I said earlier, I stopped watching them. Why? Because I'd get aggravated, angry, frustrated. I stopped watching them. I just set it apart. Get it out of my eyes. And it's not just that. I'm watching just about all football, just about. I used to be a fanatic. I used to throw things at the TV. I'm serious. We were crazy. Huh? No. No, because it never got better. It just got worse. Every time I would do it, I would do it again and again and again. And it never changed anything, only made me feel worse. I'm saying to you is this, is if there's things on the TV that does not build you up or edify you or encourage you, then get away from it. Off the internet. Get out of Facebook. Get out of whatever, anything that other junk is. Get out of it because it is destroying people's lives. You see something on there you don't like, what do? You get angry. Matter of fact, sometimes when you see things on there that causes other people harm, you rejoice at times. You understand? What we are doing, that is that evil is pulling you away from Jesus. My personal opinion. That's why you'd never see me on Facebook or Snapchat or any of those other junk things. If I got something to say, I want to say it to you. I don't want everybody's face in my business. You understand that? There's things in my life that's between me and my Father, and that's it. And I don't want the devil getting his hands on it because I was stupid enough to put it on Facebook. You understand? And that's what it is. It's a devil's playground. And you don't hear me preach about that stuff, but I'm just telling you, it's time. Whoa, hear me. It's time. If your life isn't going the way God said it should be going, prospering spirit, soul, and body, it's time to change your life. You're building it on sand instead of on the rock. If you got loved ones you just want to be in contact with, it's called a phone. Pick it up and talk to them. Don't put it out there for the rest of the world to comment on your life. I don't know where that came from. Anyways, You understand? I understand the purpose of it because it's coming to the end of days. They'll be using Facebook to control your life. They put out there who you should basically vote for, who you should like and not like. God says love everyone, but they're putting out their reasons why you shouldn't love everyone. Because they're unsaved and say something bad about you, you automatically start speaking about them. Anyways. Through wisdom a house is built. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you. He said this. He said, if you have to place somebody on there, something on the Facebook because you think it's good, and it, your pride says, I want to do it, God says, don't let pride dictate to you what you do. Boy, I got a really hard one there. I got a lot of people just don't like what I'm saying right now. But I'm telling you, the devil's using these things to draw you away from Jesus. Amen? You've got to stop and consider what I'm saying, what I'm doing. Does it build up or tear down? Amen? Paul said, I wouldn't even eat meat if it causes someone else to stumble. He cared that much about others. He would do nothing in his power to protect them. All right. I got in trouble enough already. Let's go on. Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. Through wisdom, a house is built. So in other words, you can build a house, but it doesn't mean it's a home, like I said earlier. A home is where Jesus is invited in, welcomed in, and you sit down with him, and you break bread with him, you sit down with him and converse with him, and you listen to his conversation, and you try to accommodate one another to make them feel welcome. That's an ongoing process. You don't go into your home. And if you just, let's say it's you and your husband, you don't make him feel welcome, if you're the wife, just for that moment. You don't, if you're the husband, make your feel wife welcome just for that moment. It's continuous, isn't it? Don't you want them to feel this is your home? I was listening to Ken Copeland the other day, and he said, he was talking about his wife, and he said he used to go through a very difficult time with anger. He tells you that. It's his thing. When he was younger, and he was a Christian. He was even preaching, but he still would get angry. He said that one day he came home, and he was exhausted. He was tired. He'd been out for, I don't know, a few days ministering, and he came home. And he sat down, and he was angry, and just anger and tiredness and all that stuff. And his wife walked up behind him, put her hands on his shoulder, and said, Ken, I find no fault in you. It said it just broke him. Just broke him. Imagine that, a home like that. Where you walk in, and you've got the world and all the things going on in your life, and you just... Somebody walks up and says, I find no fault in you at all. That's what it's like to be with Jesus. Jesus says to you all the time, when you're spending time with him, he's not telling you all your faults. He's telling you where you're going, what he's planning for your life, what he wants to do for you. That's what he's doing. A whole different life than be a religious activity. It's a daily living with Jesus. Hallelujah. We looked at a few weeks ago, we looked at a scripture in Matthew 16. And he was walking with his disciples and he said, "Who do people say that I am?" Remember that? And they said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're..." He said, "Who do you say that I am?" And people stood up and gave testimony who they say Jesus was. It was a wonderful day. It was a beautiful day. But as you build your life with him, who he becomes changes. Who you become changes. As you build your life on him, you become more and more like him. You sound more and more like him. You act more and more like him. The more you spend time with him, in that house that's being built on that rock, the more you become like Christ. Jesus isn't going to change. He said, "I'm the Lord, I change not." He's not going to change to be like you. Do you ever notice inside of a house when you get married, you come together, and then if you've been there long enough together, Diane and I sound almost alike. We talk and act almost alike. Really, we take on each other's characteristics. We know how each other thinks. We try to talk like, well, we try. When you spend time with the Master and you're building your house on the rock, which happens to be the Lord Jesus Christ, you can become more and more like him. You love like him. You forgive like him. You think like him. You look for ways to be a blessing to others like him. You lay down your life just like him. You become a living sacrifice. And when you see others laboring, they come to me. "I'm going to help you find rest in Christ." You become like him. It goes on to say in Matthew 16, Peter piped up and said, "Thou art the Christ." You are the Christ, or meaning the anointed one. We've heard, we know, we've been taught, and we were talking about this again. I think it was Wednesday night, Miles Monroe was doing it. He was saying that Jesus, and I think we've said this before we had this, Jesus is in heaven. The Christ is here in us. The Christ just means the anointed or the anointing. That same anointing that was in Jesus that made him the Christ, the anointed one, is in us. Amen? So when he said to Simon, piped up, he said, "You are the Christ." What I said earlier, when I said the same Christ is in you, people hear it, but they don't know it. When Peter piped up and said, "You are the Christ," what was happening, Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Peter, flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you. No man told you that. But it was revealed to you by my Father." You can only build your house on the rock of revelation. What God reveals to you will become part of your solid foundation. If you have not the revelation of who Christ is, you'll never build it on the rock. If you have not the revelation of what he did and what he's doing, You will never stay on the rock. You'll always find ways to get someplace else, to get something done that you want done that you don't think he can do or will do. The power of God's word in our lives is determined by the amount of revelation you have from God, not from man. Jesus said, unless I build the house, you build it in vain. How is the house built? On divine revelation of who Christ is, what his word says, and what he promised to do. How many of us truly have that divine revelation? You couldn't have come to Christ unless you have had it. Amen? You couldn't come to Christ unless there was a divine revelation coming to you by the power of the Holy Spirit, by somebody speaking a word to you of who Christ is. How many people have heard that? I remember when I came to Christ, I remember Diane and I living with my sister, and she was talking about praise God, this and that, and this and that, and all these things. We thought she was crazy. Really, we thought she was nuts. Because I haven't had yet the divine revelation of who Christ was. You sound crazy to people without that revelation. You will. Till they get that revelation. That's why I truly believe to be led by the Spirit. Jesus didn't go any place he wanted to go when he walked this earth. He only went where his Father sent him. He said, I do nothing except what I see my Father doing. He didn't go around preaching. He didn't throw his pearls before his swine. He went where the Holy Spirit led him. When you get to a place and you're building your life on the rock, and you start getting divine revelation of what it means through the Word of God and the Spirit of God working in you, you won't be moved from that rock. It's just when somebody stands up and says to you, yeah, you got to build your life on the rock. Yeah, okay, what's that mean? And when you walk out of this place, you'll forget all about it. You'll go back to living your life the way you've been living it. And when storms come, you'll say, how come God allowed that in my life? Storms are coming. Get ready. Amen? Hallelujah. So God is saying to us, get ready. We need divine revelation. We need to walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're walking by the Spirit, you're founded on the rock. If you're walking and doing all the things the flesh wants to do, you're on the sand. So how do we get to that place to make sure that we stay on the rock and we get that divine revelation? Go into Joshua. Hallelujah. Go into Joshua. Now remember, I just read a scripture to you in Proverbs. The house is built with wisdom, and it's established with understanding. In other words, you're looking for the wisdom of God, but not only have that wisdom, understanding why you do what you do. Understanding why God asks you to do what he asks you to do. You need to have understanding so you won't be moved. If you truly understood when he said, give and it shall be given on you, press down, shake together, running over. If you truly understood what it means when he said, give your tithes and offerings and I'll open up the windows of heaven, pour out blessings you'll not be able to contain. And you understood what blessings were. You understood those things. You would never miss the opportunity to do what God told you to do with your finances. Never. No way. No way. Don't tell me I don't have enough to tithe with, because the tithe comes out first. I know better. I'm not trying to get you to... No, don't listen to me on that. I'm not... I'm just telling you. Matter of fact, you will look for ways to give, because you know if you give, and whatever you give, God's going to give back to you. And he said, I'll do it pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You won't be able to contain all that God's got for you. And that's in every part of your life. He's talking about love there. He's talking about finances. He's talking about peace. He's talking about all the things of life that are good. When you start doing what God instructs you to do it, and you do it with the right heart. Again, I encourage you. Jesus is the one who's got to do this, not you. You can't change your heart. Only God can. And you can't change your attitude and the way you do things. Only God can. He does it through the Spirit. He does it with the Word. Bring it into you. And all of a sudden, bam. There comes a day when a light goes off and you start operating the way he did. And nothing will move you from that. Because you've experienced it. You've seen it. You know it. This is not just something we do as a religious activity. This is what I do because God said it and he did it and he proved himself to me. I'm telling you. Amen. Joshua. Okay, how do we get to that place? Hallelujah. Joshua 1. You know that scripture. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you. Hallelujah. I had a... Thank you, Jesus. God gave me a dream a few weeks back, and I haven't shared it with you. I want to share it with you. I've watched God do things, dreams. Some of them are in the future yet. Some have come to pass in my life. I've learned to distinguish between a dream of my own thing and what I believe comes out of the Lord. One that I get a dream that's just everyday dream that everybody goes and has and so on. I forget them. About the minute I wake up, they're gone. Dreams that God has given me over the years, I've still got and still hold on to, and I still know. I can picture them. They're very clear in my mind and in my heart. I don't always understand everything as he does those things. I don't understand them all. God reveals things as we go along at times. But I've seen this, and I know it's from the Lord. I know it's now and it's future. I don't understand fully and yet how it's coming. But it is. So, and it's nothing, probably, maybe it's not sound like a major thing, but to me, anytime God speaks to me, it's major. I take nothing lightly when it comes from the Lord. What I believe God is showing me, I take it very, and I'll pray about it, and I'll wait on the Lord, and I'll pray about it, and there's still things and dreams that I've had that I'm still waiting for God to clarify, to reveal. And some things he has, some things he hasn't. Sometimes it takes years, sometimes weeks, months, whatever. It wasn't a long dream. I want to preface this also with this. I dream a lot. They say, and I'm not an expert at this, but they say you get into REM sleep. REM, that's when you get into dreams. I can fall asleep and in 5 minutes I can have a dream. That's how deep I go into dream. I will dream, and I've woke up every hour all night long and had a dream just before I wake up. It's just the way I am. I dream. I have never gone to sleep where I haven't had a dream of some sort or other. Doesn't mean it's all from God. Remember what he said, old men will dream dreams? Amen. I take that. Hey, if I was concerned about being old, I wouldn't have gray hair. Amen. But I'm not concerned about that. I praise God that he's kept me this long here. Obviously, I'm not done yet. So, anyways, the dream begins with we're traveling, and we're in a line of cars, and I'm driving. I think I was driving in this car. Diane was in the car with me, and other people were. I don't know who they were. I didn't pay attention to that really. And we're driving, and we made a turn on a right turn. And we were heading to a conference. We're heading to a place where they were going to have a conference of some sort. I don't even know what it really was all about. And as we turned, I was looking for the number of the building where we were supposed to be in. And up on the hill, there were buildings, all these buildings along here. And I'm going along, we're driving along, and I notice in front of us is new cars. And they're going the same place we are. Behind me, new cars, people in them. And we pulled up to this building, and I noticed the building before that was all burned down. It was burned out. And I watched as the people who were assigned to that building were coming over to our building. And I said, didn't think anything of it. I just thought they had a fire and they're going up there. So we went up the stairs, those long winding stairs to get up to the top into the building, and we're walking up there, or, you know, climbing up there. And we get up there, and we're standing in line waiting, and we're waiting for our turn to go up to this person. It was a woman sitting at a desk, and talk to her about getting, you know, your assignment and all this stuff, your tags, whatever, I don't know. So we come up, and I sit down, and Diane was behind me a little ways. She wasn't quite right with me, and I sat down. And the woman says to me, when do you want a break? I said, a break? Yeah, when do you want a break during the conference? I'm thinking to myself, that's weird. Why would you have a break during the conference? Why would I make a decision when I want a break, when they just make the breaks? And so I asked, and I said, Diane, come on up here and help fill out these cards, whatever they are. So Diane comes up. And we're sitting there, and I turned to the woman, and I said, let me ask you a question. I said, do you give room for the Holy Spirit according to Joel 2:28? And she just looked at me, and I woke up. And I said, wow. I said, okay, Lord, what are we doing here? What are you talking about? Well, I do believe, and it's not so much a conference that I'm looking at, I do believe something's on the horizon for us. I believe there's something new happening because there was new cars in front of us, new people coming in, people from other places, people who are new to us, but yet still some of the other people that's been here have been. And I think what he's saying to us is make sure there's room, make a way for the Holy Spirit. Don't try to live your life without making way for the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm getting at right now. Don't live your life without making room for the Holy Spirit. Because if you do, you'll get a break from what God is trying to do in your life. And you don't want that. The enemy's always waiting for you to enable him to come in and affect your life. As long as you stay close to him, as long as you stay close to him, being moved by the Spirit and not by your own emotions and feelings and thoughts and cares, God will be there. The power of God. I'm still waiting for the fullness of the translation of what God is going to do, but I just know in my heart, whether it's because something bad happened because of the burned out building, which causes people to come, just like after 9/11. Remember what happened? Something bad come, everybody went to church for a while. Then as soon as it got past, what'd they do? Back out. Amen? So how do we do this? How do we get to that place? In Joshua 1, verse 8. Let's start. God's promise to Joshua. Listen to what he said in verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. Be strong and of good courage. Amen. Don't let fear in. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide it as an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous, that you may observe to do all that the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. He's promising this to Joshua under the old covenant. Imagine what you have under the new covenant. He said, don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right, don't walk away from this. Do exactly as I command you to do. Do exactly what I told you to do. Well, I don't know what he told me to do. Read the word. Read the word. He shows you what to do. Listen to what he goes on to say. This book of the law, this word here, this message from God, this as I think our brother called it, the Constitution for the Kingdom of God, shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, speak only what God says, not what you feel, not what you think, not what you see, not what you hear, not what other people say. Do you know how many people, there's a battle going on in a storm, right? And this is, I know what's going on, but I got to say this without offending anybody. And that person knows what I'm talking about. What happens to all of us? Hear me. Now listen. What happens to all of us? We go to the doctor. The doctor says this about us. We leave the doctor's office, and somebody comes up and says, what did the doctor say? We say exactly what the doctor said. And we leave it at that. What the doctor said is fact. I'm not saying it's wrong, and I want you to deny it. But never leave it at that. End it with what God said. You will negate what the doctor said, and even more important, it'll negate what you said. Because when you open that mouth to talk about it, it brings life to it. You understand? It doesn't mean it changes, it becomes bigger or more than that. It just means that it'll affect your life more. You got to say it. There's nothing wrong with saying it. It's factual. But then end it with what God says. Yes, but this is what my father said. By his stripes I was healed. Amen? You have the power of life and death in here. When you start doing what he told you to do in here, look what he said. This book of the law, or the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth. Don't let it leave your mouth. Make sure it's spoken, not just in that moment, but every day. Every day. Say, Father, I thank you that you said that you took all my sickness and all my diseases. I thank you, Father, that I am healed in Jesus' name. You don't have to say that in front of a whole bunch of people. Just say it between you and the Father. Speak life over your life. That's where life comes from. It comes from the Spirit of God and the Word of God that's in your heart and up out of your mouth and starts producing life in you. He said, meditate on it. You know what that means. Day and night. In other words, if we only do this on a Sunday morning, if you only think about this on a Sunday morning, if you only speak life on a Sunday morning, it isn't going to work. Remember what we said? When he said, flesh and blood hasn't told you this, but God the Father told you. Do you know what was happening? Do you know how long Peter meditated on Jesus? It didn't just happen that moment. He's been watching. He's been observing. He's been listening. He heard, watched. He lived with Jesus. For 3 years, Jesus was speaking and showing by example. And the more you spend time with the Master, by meditating on what he said, all of a sudden the light goes off. It becomes yours. And no matter what anybody says or does, will not change what you know. Meditate day and night that you may observe to do. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7? Don't be hearers only, but doers. Those who hear my sayings and does them, I will liken him to the man who built his house on the rock. You're building your life. Now look, I like what Miles Monroe said again. He said this. He said, we let Jesus into our house. I think it was Miles anyways. If it was somebody else, I apologize. We let Jesus into our house, right? But we don't give him the keys to all the rooms. We only give him keys to the rooms we want him in. See, Jesus didn't come just to visit. He came to occupy. He doesn't want to just occupy part of your life. He wants to occupy the whole life. And remember what I said. You can't do it on your own. All you have to do is give him permission to do it. You just give him permission. Come on, Lord, you're welcome in any part of my life. You're welcome in my marriage. You're welcome into my children's lives. You're welcome into my husband's life. You're welcome into my life. You're welcome into our finances. You're welcome into every area of our life. You're welcome. And I declare you to be Lord over all. But Jesus can't operate. He cannot be Lord in your life where you don't invite him to be part of that life. And wherever he's not Lord of, somebody else is. Hallelujah. Listen. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. How? If we're going to build our house on the rock, we're going to build our life on the rock of Jesus Christ. How are we going to do this thing? Except we get into the Word, we meditate on it day and night, until we have a divine revelation of what God said about this area of my life, and all of a sudden you see God become Lord of it, and he makes a transformation. Remember what he said? All those who labor and heavy laden, come to me and take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. I'll give you the rest. Jesus isn't out there to burden you with more things you got to do. He's not talking about religious activity. He's not talking about that stuff. Well, I got to read the Bible. Well, you're going to either watch TV, you're going to look at your computer, or you can read the Bible. If you find more life in the computer, then stay on the computer. If you find more life in the Word, get in the Word. That's why he said, you choose this day, life or death. You choose. Now, I didn't say again, I am not saying computers are bad. What I'm saying is, where you spend your life is where you're going to find your life at. You're meditating on something day and night, right? Meditating on something. And that is where you're going to find your life. If that can keep you in the midst of the storm, if you can find help in the midst of your storm from all those other things going on out there, then stay there. No matter how much your family loves you and wants to help you, no matter how much your friends and neighbors love you and want to be there for you, they can only do so much. And what happens is when your life goes so much out of kilter and so much out of this, pretty soon people don't want to be around because they can't help you and they become frustrated and they become angry. But Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll always be there for you. But we can't do it building our life on the sand. It has to be on the rock of divine revelation of who Christ is, what he promised us, and what he would do. We need to meditate day and night. Why? What do we need to gain? Because from that meditation, you will gain wisdom and understanding. When you have wisdom that's from heaven, and because there's two types of wisdom. There's an earthly wisdom, and there's a godly wisdom. If you got wisdom from heaven, and you understand how to operate in that wisdom, you're going to see the difference. That's when you'll stand up and declare to the storm, "Be still. Be still. I hear all the words being spoken at me. I hear all the lies and the devil and all the other junk coming at me. That's just the wind. That's just noise. You tell it to shut up. And you start speaking life. And speak life. And speak life. And speak life. Next week we'll talk about the power of wisdom in your life. The difference between earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. What will change? What will change in our lives? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning as we give you praise and glory. Father, we know that the devil is a liar and a thief. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. And we declare, Almighty God, that our lives are built on the rock. We thank you, Father, as you bring us wisdom and understanding, that we may live our life, Father, not only pleasing to you, but beneficial for us and for others. That when the storms of life come, that we are not fearful. We are not cowering in a corner, but we are standing strong in the power of your might. We thank you, Father. Jesus, Paul prayed, Father. He prayed in Ephesians. He said, "Lord, open the eyes of their understanding." First he prayed, "Father, give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Open the eyes of their understanding. They would know what is the hope of your calling. What are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in us, the saints? And what is that exceedingly great power available to us?" Lord, that's what we want. Just as Paul prayed, "Father, let it be according to his words and according to your will in our lives. That we may be established on the rock of our salvation. That as we meditate day and night on Jesus, on his words, on his name, and the power of his name, that all things become possible to us. And what seems impossible with man becomes possible because we put our faith and trust on you. And your word will never come back void what you sent it forth to accomplish. And you said you sent your word and healed them. Lord, this morning in the name of Jesus, we receive that word. We pray, Father, for divine revelation of it right now. Receive it right now, Lord God. Receive it right now. Let the light go off, Father. Let it become life to us. Not just hope, but truth, faith, power. We thank you for that. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Miss Brenda. Yeah.